All right, welcome back to On Capturing Stories. Today I am joined by my good friend Michael. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for taking a few moments with us. Mike is extraordinaire in all things related to the sky, flying in the sky, getting drones up in the sky, and he's really the one who has helped me gain an understanding in the last 6 months to year of not only the joy of flying and taking photographs from a winged plane, but also some of the safety, legal, and licensing requirements for flying a drone for photographic purposes, both personally and commercially. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. All right, so Mike, I guess it was about 6 months ago or so that I acquired a drone and discovered just how fun it was to fly, and started posting some images to Instagram, and through that process realized that I wanted to fly in a commercial aspect and start recording video and images for clients, for projects, for profit. And in that process, I reached out to you. I think we had lunch together, and I started relaying some of my hopes, and you were the one who really slowed me down a little bit and helped clue me into some things I hadn't seen yet.
Right. I know that I was very aware when you began talking about commercial operations of the lack of awareness of the protocol behind commercial operations of drones or unmanned aircraft. And we kind of ran through some of the federal aviation regulations with regards to drones, but I think we got into just the fundamental airman knowledge required to be able to go out anywhere in America and or in the world and be able to put a drone in the sky. And that primarily is having the ability to take a pilot's sectional map and be able to interpret it and decipher all of the legalities contained in airspace, which there are just so many rules and regulations with regards to airspace. And what all that leads back to is the ultimate safety aspect of separation between manned aircraft and unmanned aircraft, which has become a real, an extremely hot topic with the FAA, and yes, they put some very, very constraining and specific regulatory requirements in place with regards to altitudes you can operate at, maximum altitudes, and also distances away from certain objects like assemblages of people, dwellings, boats, and for sure big gatherings like anything in cities and, you know, places like that.
And at the time I was putting together a proposal for a client who wanted some footage down in New York City. So it was really a bit of trial by fire in terms of not only am I new to learning airspace and what's the difference between a Class C and Class G and all of these things, but also some of the special restrictions in such an urban environment. And in that case, fortunately, the flight path was over water through the, I believe it's called the Hudson Airway or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. The project didn't end up getting off the ground, but that whole situation and in talking with you and thinking about it with a pretty large contract, a client with a lot to lose if I were to mess something up, especially in a legal capacity, it really put me on high alert, especially as someone new to unmanned operation. And so for someone new, Mike, who has just acquired a drone or is considering flying, even in a personal capacity, let's just start there. Some of the rules of thumb that I've picked up along the way are, you know, the obvious ones are don't fly above 400 feet. But also a key one that I use every time I go out is I check that sectional map. And there are some digital tools as well, but there's a legally approved map, right?
Yes. It's technically called a FAA sectional chart, and they are broken down into geographic areas. For example, New York, Miami. Oftentimes it's related to a town. When you get out west, they use other nomenclature to identify the sections that they're talking about. But it's a very detailed and complete map, which has an expiration date, usually 56 days. These things are issued every 56 days. They become obsolete, so you're constantly, you know, about every 2 months, or about every 2 months, you're having to purchase a new one because things change with regards to the FAA and airspace. But the hard part, the challenge, is to become marginally fluent with being able to decipher the chart, because they're pretty technical in nature. All of that is covered in private pilot license training. But you don't need to go through that to gain the ability to just read a sectional. I mean, there are online capabilities and tutorials and forums. And probably the easiest, quickest way would just to be to get with any certified flight instructor and spend an hour or two of his time, typically 10, 15 bucks an hour. And he'll go through and critically teach you everything you need to know with regards to unmanned aircraft operation, primarily how to read the sectional. So that's the tool you need to have in your toolbox for any kind of extended, you know, any kind of UAV operation technically. And there's a licensing process that's in place now that really covers all of that stuff. If you go through the process of getting an actual unmanned aircraft operating license, you'll be briefed and educated in all of those areas and know how to stay out of trouble.
Absolutely. That's great, Mike. And really, let's talk in terms of a checklist for anyone considering flying a drone. Some things, when I first got my drone, I was advised to pay, it was $5 at the time, register my UAS, is a website that the FAA runs, and that's just to register the bird, and that's fine for any personal, private, individual flying purpose. What else? I found the phone number for my local airport and checked. In this case, it's not restricted airspace, so a simple phone call to notify them worked. What are some other things that someone at the first outset should consider?
I think at the initial stage and all phases prior to operating an unmanned aircraft, the first thing should be proximity to other aircraft, civilian manned aircraft, i.e. the airport that's closest to you. And there could also be other operating areas, whether it be flight training, sailplane operations, skydive operations, aerobatic aircraft training. All of these things would be noted on a sectional. But the first thing really is going to be how close to an airport are you? Because the closer, the rules you have, I believe, are 5 miles. You're not allowed to operate within 5 miles of an airport. And so, that would be 5 statute miles from the center of the airport. And when you chart that out on your aeronautical sectional, that creates a pretty big standoff from where aircraft will be coming out, taking off and landing. And obviously the whole reason for that is to, prevent when aircraft are taking off and landing, they're going to be at relatively low altitudes, and it's a tense phase of flight. So typically, pilots aren't relaxed and looking all around with their head on a swivel. They're very focused on the runway, the surface of intended landing, and orienting and maneuvering their aircraft to get to the right altitude and airspeeds and courses to fly to ultimately land an airplane, and the same taking off. Initially when you take off and you're below 1,000 feet. You're not doing near as good a job diligently, with your head on a swivel, scanning in all directions, looking for an unmanned aircraft that you might run into.
Right. That's great advice, Mike, and we've only scratched the surface. I really appreciate your expertise in the air and also your friendship, as you've helped bring me along in this part of the journey of getting up in the air with a drone and taking some beautiful pictures in a way that's safe. for all aircraft involved. So I appreciate you taking some time out of your day today. Just a disclaimer, I am not a lawyer in any capacity, and I would urge you to seek counsel with any of these matters, and of course reach out to any governing body before taking action. And be safe out there. It's not only the safety of your drone, but more importantly, the safety of human lives that are in the air every day. Anything else to add as we wrap up, Mike?
Oh, I think that's it. And look forward to chatting with you in the future, Jordan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike. I hope this podcast has been helpful and practical advice for you. And look forward to hearing you on the next episode of On Capturing Stories.